Proverbs 14:26. I'm going to do a little exercise. Help me out here, dads, guys. If you don't have a Bible, grab one from the seat back in front of you. I just want everybody to have a Bible, all the guys to have a Bible in your hands, right? There's a great gift that fathers have to give to their families, and it is strength. It is strong love. And I just want to, we're going to get together as guys and point to where we are getting our strength from, and that is His Word. And even if you're, even as you're using one of these, it's you can do that. Everybody stand up, guys, that have a Bible. Just the guys. Sorry, ladies. You had your Mother's Day stuff, so this is the guys. We've got our Bibles in hand. And I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. We're going to shout, Word of God, right? I want to hear it. Can I hear it? Boy, come on. I didn't say 1, 2, 3. You're right. Let's see how it goes. Ready? And you got to hold it up when you say it, right? So 1, 2, 3, Word of God. Ready? 1, 2, 3, Word of God. I'm going to turn my... There we go. Let's stand together as we read the word. All together now. Ladies can join us on this one. All right. We'll be going into that wonderful book of Proverbs. Let's read together. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. The righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them. Lord, thank you for the wisdom that we find in Proverbs. God, your word, I've been saying this more and more lately, is so practical. It is so applicable to our everyday lives. We thank you for it, Lord God. We thank you that it's given to each of us, not only to learn, but to hear and obey. And live out. So bless us as we go into this very practical book and learn about the power, the strength that fathers give and what a blessing that flows from that. Lord, we pray it. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. First verse out of Proverbs 14:26. Yeah, have that open in front of you guys, because we're going to be looking at this one and the other verse. Proverbs, if you're not sure how to get there, open your Bible to the middle. Chances are you're going to fall in Psalms or real close to it. Proverbs follows Psalms. Get to know your Bible. It'll make you a strong and godly father. So it says, whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress. For the children, it will be a refuge. We don't hear so much about fearing the Lord, do we, anymore? But it's in Scripture. We need to have a healthy fear and reverence for Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present God who spoke and everything came into existence. That sounds like somebody we need to have a healthy respect for, don't we? What does the Bible say that if I, pride does what? God opposes the proud. Anybody want to have the omnipotent God opposing you? No. Nor does God want to oppose you. His desire is to give grace to the humble, right? That's His desire. That's His desire. So we need to have a healthy reverence and fear of God that we take into our lives and how we live. This verse talks about making your home a refuge, a safe place, a safe refuge, a secure fortress. Isn't that interesting words that it's using? As men, as husbands, as fathers, we, end of the day, bedtime, everybody's going to bed. What's the last things that we do? Yep, check the lights. I do that too. But we walk around and we check locks, right? Make sure nobody's, everything's locked up. Garage door's closed. Doors are all deadbolted. Nobody's going to touch my family, right? This is one of the things we do as men. Anybody's going to come at my family, guess who they're going to come through? Me. They're not coming, getting at my family without coming through me. And that's actually the truth, not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally, as a family. They need to come through you. And they're trying to come through you, to come after your family. But not only are the enemy is the enemy of our souls coming after our family, but the God of love and his blessing comes through us. This verse says, whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress. Our home is to be a refuge, a place of peace in the midst of an increasingly chaotic world. And when we put, this verse says, we put God, loving God, first in our lives, and we put him on the throne of our lives as fathers and as husbands, our homes, it says, will be a secure fortress, a refuge, a safe place, a shelter in the time of storms, a protection from the unknowns that are out there. Nowadays, kids don't know what to expect because the world is changing at such a rapid pace. Every time you turn around, there's something new that's thrown at them. And when we're put in that place of constant change, we never feel like we're sure of our footing because things are always changing. And if we don't have an anchor, a strong, solid place to stand, we're just always reacting and responding. And when children are growing up, that's a difficult way to grow up. It's difficult for them. The fences seem to have been knocked down, boundary lines are gone. And it's one of the reasons why the increase in divorce has been so hard on kids, because that safe haven of home, that place that they can go to in the midst of whatever was happening to me at school or work or whatever in the neighborhood, I can go home where I know it's a safe place. That's my refuge. So what does this mean for dads? Be strong, dads. Love strong, dads. You can be that border of protection that makes your home that secure fortress, that safe refuge. When you say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will. That's what my house is going to be, that secure and strong place. The enemy may come after my family, but here we will be under the protection of God. And it'll be a place that they can return to, and you can return to, day in, day out, when who knows what's going to be happening during the day. We can come back and know that here's a place where I know our faith is strong. My God hasn't changed. We still have to trust in his truth. And we're in that safe place. So what does a strong love that fears the Lord look like? Dads, you can create this atmosphere of a safe haven for your kids by being a worshiper of God. Be a worshiper of God. Does it mean coming to church? Does it? Yep, it absolutely does. That is one aspect of it. We've kind of made that a kind of elective, if you feel like it or if things are not too busy. Be a worshiper of God. When there's the time, our Sabbath day comes, this is where I will be, and my children will see me worshiping. They will look at Dad and say, maybe at some ages they'll be like, oh gosh, Dad's getting all weird. At some ages they'll look and say, wow, Daddy really worships God. At some ages they'll say, wow, God's really working in Dad's heart. Let them see you being a worshiper of God. I've heard people say a lot, you know, we want to allow our kids to choose their own faith. Ultimately, children will make their own choice, won't they? But, fathers, let them see what they're choosing. Let them see a father who is a passionate follower of Jesus, who loves God with all his heart. Don't let them see a dad who is kind of a little wimpy about it and non-committal about their faith. Some people say, you know, I tried Christianity and found it wanting, found it lacking. What really was the deal is that they really didn't try Christianity as it was intended to be tried, fully, completely surrendered. Faith in Christ was never intended to be a lukewarm thing. It's never intended for that. It was intended to be a heartfelt, fully surrendered following of the Master. And it doesn't seem to work very well any other way. That's the way Jesus created it and designed it. So be a worshiper, a strong believer. Be joyfully generous. Let them see you leading your family in giving and your time. Let them see you serving. Let them see you serving others in the community. Let them see the idea that, you know what, our tithes come first. We give to God first, and then we take care of the other needs and wants. And that's one way that we teach our children and we teach our families. We put God first and God will take care of you. I've found 32 or so years of God being faithful to do that. And we need to teach by example our families. Be generous in your time, in your efforts, in your finances. That's one how we can be a strong love that fears God and create that secure fortress of the home. Be an eager learner. Be an eager learner. Be a family where prayer and devotions are part of your growing up. Let them have those times we used to act out our Bible stories when we were kids, when the kids were little, and we used to have all kinds of number of different Bibles that we used to go through, but yeah, we would act them out, we would read them together. That was normal. Let that be. And I know it gets tougher as the kids get older. It did for us, and that was one of the ways that I feel like I slacked off. I let church get me too busy, and that's, you know, no parent is perfect. That's one of my regrets. But we invested when times were younger, and let them see you be an eager learner. Be a listener. When you learn, don't just teach, tell. Ask questions. Be willing to learn from your spouse. Be willing to learn from your kids. They can teach you so much if you will be willing to be a listener, because that means that you're in that relationship. You're not just talking. You're connecting. And if you're willing to do that, oh, God will teach you. And your children will see that's what it's like to be a learner. That's what it's like to be an eager learner. and let prayer come naturally. Let it come easy in your home. Don't let it be just done around the dinner table or by the pastor at church. Let them see you say, we need to stop and pray about that. We need to be in prayer together about that. Let them see that as a natural part of your family life. And be an unashamed witness. Oh, you can create such a secure fortress, such a place of refuge, if spiritual conversations are a normal part of your family life. So they're not afraid to talk about things because I'm not sure what the answer will be, or dad will just shut me down or whatever. Talk about stuff. When things come up in the news, when things come up at school, let's talk about it together. Let's chew on it together. Have spiritual conversations. It will bring both a spiritual and an intellectual intelligence, an intellectual confidence to your family, because you can talk about these things and think them through rationally and logically, as well as with faith. Powerful things for dads to do. And you can create that place that when all else is going crazy, I know that home will be a secure, protective, strong place that I can reach, retool, I can get advice, I can find wisdom from God, I can get refreshed again and go back out and face some of the tough stuff that the world has to offer. Dads, that's where your strong love provides such a rich gift to your family, powerful gift to your family. The strong love of your life. Strong love. Our next verse says, the righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them. Blessed are their children after them. We want our children to have blessed lives, right? Everybody wants their children to be blessed and to have good things in their lives. Again, the blessings that we want our children to have will follow the integrity. In fact, this verse, if you read it in the Greek, it actually flips things around. And they've flipped it around just for more common English understanding. But it says, children blessed, just as integrity a man walks. Children's blessing will come just as in integrity the man walks. Our children's blessing is tied to our character and integrity. So we are righteous. Why? Because of Christ. Outside of Christ, we don't have right standing before God, because all of our sins bring condemnation. But in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation, right? We've been forgiven in Christ, and we can stand before God righteous through the blood of Christ. So the righteous, that's the believers, lead blameless lives. Blameless. That's not perfect, is it? Blameless is the type of thing where, you know what, if somebody was to talk about you, they'd say, oh, he'd never do that about something that's wrong. Or, oh, he always does that about something good. You understand? That's the kind of a reputation, that blameless reputation. Oh, yeah, that's just the way he is. Or, what? No, he would never do that. Our reputation of saying, the word literally translates integrity. Integrity is we live who we are. That's that one of the aspects of joy, right? That's the A in rare joy. Acting like ourselves. Acting like a person of integrity. And when we do, our children are what? They're blessed. They're blessed. Now, the schools and the government trying so hard. There's so much trouble and problems in our schools aren't there. You hear of the my sister has just retired from teaching, and so hard to try and help the kids that are dealing with so many troubles. They've got low graduation rates that they're trying to fix, the violence in the schools, pregnancies of young girls, the promiscuity that comes from, STDs that are floating around in schools, the bullying and the discipline issues and drugs and gangs. I mean, these are all the things that schools are trying to figure out. How can we make our schools a safe and healthy place to learn and grow, right? And they point to a lot of the social problems that, well, it's because of this and because of that. And they try to create programs to fix it. And as time people and of the church and as Americans, we stop trying to find solutions for something that's just a symptom. What happens when you fix a symptom? Why does it come back? Because you haven't corrected the problem. There's something underlying the symptom. All of the things I mentioned, they are symptoms of the problem. You know what the problem is? It is a spiritual and a moral problem. Underlying all of our social ills today, there are spiritual and moral problems. And until we deal with the problem that underlies that, we will never fix the social problems that are plaguing us. We've got to stop trying to put Band-Aids on infected wounds and start trying to actually do something to take care of the infection. We have to. Our country is in desperate need of that. And you know, the only ones that can do that? It's the body of Christ. And it needs to begin with us. People have become okay with the God as, that's little g, with the God as they want him to be. When are we going to look around and start saying, we've got to acknowledge there is a spiritual problem in our country. We can't ignore it any longer. We don't have time. We are losing young people at alarming rates, frightening rates. Heaven knows we're losing older people anymore in the same way. We gotta be willing to accept God for who he, capital H, actually is, not who we want him to be. We have to approach that at that level. Churches have shrunk. We don't have an anchor in our lives that we can go back to say, yeah, the unchanging God. He's the one I'm looking towards. He's the one we have to seek after. You know that 1 in 4 children, 1 in 4 under the age of 18, are being raised without a father in our country today? 25%, that's about 17 million children are being raised without a father in their home. We've got to start saying, this is where the problem is. It's hard to fix, but if we don't fix it, all the social issues that are the symptoms will just continue and get worse. We are in desperate need of mom's sticky, chesed, holds everybody together relational love in our world. And we're in desperate need of a dad's strong love in our world. The love of his life. The strong love of your life. Our children, our families. Our strong love is what our families need. They need a love that's lived out with strength and courage and integrity. And when we do, when we lead this blameless life, what will happen to our children? What will happen to our children? They will be blessed. They will be blessed. I hate to say it, I can't sugarcoat it. It comes through me and it comes through you. That's a promise of God, and although it may feel daunting to you, it is a great encouragement to know that that's God's promise to you. It's his promise. And following God is one of those things that is, it's simple, but not easy, right? How many people have heard me say that before? It's simple, but not easy. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. You don't have to go to college to be a strong, godly father. Isn't that good news? You don't have to study for so many years in order to get there. And finally, it is simple things like being a doer of the word. Do what's right. Be a man of integrity. Even if it's not easy, even if it goes against what other people think you should or shouldn't do, do what is right. Be a man of integrity. Let your family see you stand up. Take the chance of making mistakes, because you will, and that's okay. And make the hard choices. Make the hard choices that might even cost you. Do it by faith. Do it with prayer. Do it with godly counsel and blessing for your family. Blessing for your family. Be a servant of others. Let your family see you be a servant of others. Jesus gave us the example, right? He knelt down, washed their feet. He said, you've seen me, your master, do this. Now do you understand? Serve others. Let your family see you serve faithfully. Be involved somewhere in your church family, serving. Let them see you say, yeah, my dad does that. My dad's in charge of that. My dad helps out with this. Let them see you serving. Things are more often not necessarily taught, but what? Caught, yeah. People catch things a whole lot more than they get it from teaching. When they see it and they experience, oh, yeah, dad's going to do this because he serves. He's a part of that. Serve faithfully in your neighborhood. Let them see you helping your neighbors, building relationships with your neighbors. Let them see you helping out in the community. Be in Jesus, the hands and feet of Jesus to your community. And when you do these things and you're leading this blameless, oh, he always does that because that's who he is, or oh, he would never do that. That's not him. When we lead that kind of life, you know what? Blessing. Can you be a servant of others? Anybody? Yeah. Do you need to learn things to do that? Not really. You just need to step out and do it. Be a lover of others, being selfless. Be surprising. Surprise yourself. Allow God to take you and stretch you and go do things for others that, whoa, really? Maybe that'll surprise them that you actually took the time to do something. Or grab your kids, take them along. Say, we're going to go and, you know, so-and-so across the street. I know they hurt their back, but they're trying to do this, fix something on their house. So we're going to go and help them out. Let them see you do that. And you know what? Blessing. Let them see you go the extra mile in loving others. Can I encourage us as men that let's, instead of trying to be tough, let's be strong. You know the difference? tough sometimes puts up a wall. We have to be careful that we haven't confused strength for kind of being tough, because tough holds people at a distance, and that's not what we're called to do. But we are called, you know, like my little arm thing is there, we are called to be strong lovers of people, strong lovers of God. Let people see you be strong, be unafraid, be willing to do things that take courage. Not worried about what somebody's going to think or not think of me. Hey, if it's the right thing to do, we're going to do it. That is strength. So much more of what God calls us to than tough. And I think it's a distinction I think that we need to think about, because men can, let's face it, we can hide sometimes behind being a tough guy because it allows me to step back up. Tough, I don't need to deal with that. And it can help us to stay at arm's length. Strength says, you know what, I'm good, I'll try that. I might make a mistake, that's okay. Strength allows us to step up to things in ways that God calls us to. He's calling us to be that kind of strong lover of people, to be a man of character. Do you know that blessing for your family flows or doesn't flow through your character? What's character? It's what we do when nobody's looking. That's character. That's integrity. Those are sometimes the moments when we need to seek God's strength most. God, help me to be a man of integrity and of character, because I don't want to choke off the flow of blessing from my family because of what I do when nobody's looking. God, help me to let the blessing flow through to my family because I am being a godly man when nobody else is around. So, wow. Beautiful things that we can do for our families. We can create a fortress, a protective refuge for our families that they can feel, I'm secure here. It says I can revitalize and refresh myself here. And it can be a place where blessing flows out because we are living strong love for our families. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come. We're going to close in a song. I love this song. Holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Faithfulness, brokenness, it's what I long for. God, this is the cry of our hearts as men. I want you to just let this be your expression. If you are here as a father, as a grandfather, as a father-to-be, that you want to prepare yourself for this, as an uncle, even a neighbor, a coworker, where you are being a blessing to other people, other men, and you're saying, I want this blessing to flow out from me and out from my life. We're going to have this time to just sing this song. Take my heart, God, form it. Take my heart, my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it, God, to yours. I feel weak, Lord, but I want to be strong. I feel like I want to protect, but Lord God, sometimes I don't. Will you just do this work in me? And let the simple choice of saying, here I am, God, begin to do this work in me. And God will begin to do that powerful work. And I've got here just some bookmarks that just give the verses and the bullet points about Dad's strong love. And if this is something you would like to begin, say, I want to hang on to one or two of these. Maybe I'll put one in my car. Maybe I'll put one in my Bible. And today I want to say, I'm going to begin pursuing a strong love as a father or as a father figure. As we worship, as we just sing to God, take my heart, just come on up and grab one of these and say, okay, God, I'm grabbing it. This is my decision before you that you make me who you want me to be. And let him do that work in you. And what a beautiful blessing you will begin to be to your family and your loved ones around you.